What Burnside hoped to accomplish with his battle plan was to apply pressure to the front of Lee's line and try to find a way to get around Lee's right flank or southern flank. If he could do that, interpose part of the Army of the Potomac between Lee's right flank and Richmond, he thought that good things might come of this plan. As fog lifted on the morning of December 13th, Burnside ordered assaults along a five-mile front. Stonewall Jackson held the Confederate right flank. The Confederate line was more than 6 miles long, anchored on the Rappahannock on the left and extending well down toward Hamilton's Crossing on the right. Jackson commanded the right flank, James Longstreet the left. Longstreet's position was much the stronger of the two. He held high ground. He had ample artillery supporting his infantry. It was an extremely strong position. The first major attacks were against Jackson on the right. And the Federals actually made a breakthrough. They found their way to a swampy piece of ground that wasn't adequately defended. They made a lodgment, but in the end, the Union commander on that stretch of the Union line, William Buell Franklin, performed very timidly, I think is not too strong a word. He did not support the breakthrough. He didn't really try with any energy to carry out Burnside's plan to get around Lee's right flank. The Confederates were able to seal that break on Jackson's end of the line, and fighting died down to the south. And the focus of the battle then shifted to the high ground immediately west of Fredericksburg, Marye's Heights, the center of Longstreet's part of the line. And for the rest of the day, there were Union assaults by brigades, one after another, up a gentle slope and open plain right at the Confederates defending Marye's Heights. It was such a strong position that at one point a Confederate officer talking with Longstreet earlier in the day, this was a Confederate artillerist, said that he thought a chicken couldn't live on the open field approaching the Confederate line. Such was the strength of the Confederate position. And Lee expressed concern to Longstreet at one point. Longstreet said, "You might be in trouble on Jackson's end of the line, but if you give me enough ammunition, I will kill every Union soldier in that army opposing us before they can get to my position." And that is essentially what happened. As wave after wave of Union soldiers went forward, they suffered fearfully. "It was a great slaughter pen," wrote a Federal general. "They might as well have tried to take hell." This was Longstreet's kind of battle. He was on the defensive in a good sound position, and he very efficiently presided over this part of the fight. The early winter evening finally brought an end to the sickening spectacle. More than 12,500 Federals had fallen, about 5,500 Confederates, and most of those Confederate casualties were on Jackson's end of the line, not on Longstreet's. That night, the temperature dropped to almost freezing. It got down to 34 degrees. Very uncomfortable evening for many of the wounded men who were out without any shelter or cover, lying on the field in front of Longstreet's lines. It was a grim and very dramatically negative day for the Army of the Potomac, a very bad day for the Army of the Potomac. Poor Burnside was beside himself as the day went on. He really felt for his men, although he seemed incapable of changing his plans. He at one point thought that he would lead assaults the next day, renew the assaults on December 14th and lead them personally. His generals talked him out of that. That would have been a silly thing to do. And the Army of the Potomac retreated back across the Rappahannock River on December 15th. News of Fredericksburg thoroughly depressed the North. Harper's Weekly, a very popular Northern publication at the time, said that the Northern people couldn't take much more. This is how Harper's Weekly put it. "The Northern people have borne silently and grimly imbecility, treachery, failure, privation, loss of friends and means, almost every suffering which can afflict a brave people. But they cannot be expected to suffer that such massacres as this at Fredericksburg shall be repeated." It wasn't just that the Federals had been defeated at Fredericksburg. It was the way they had been defeated. It was the apparent stupidity of sending troops straight at powerfully entrenched and well-positioned Confederate defenders. That kind of a defeat, all those casualties, it all seemed pointless to the people in the North. Lincoln came in for very heavy criticism for his conduct of the war effort, both Democrats and Republicans criticized him. When he learned of the slaughter at Fredericksburg, Lincoln turned to a friend and said, "If there's a worse place than hell, I am in it." This was a very dark moment for the North.